This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Hour number three of Tom, Jake, and Stacy. This show is absolutely flying by. It's been a fun show today. Get a chance to wax poetic and argue a little bit about the old days with the Sonics. Michael Jordan and his questionable leadership style. Man, I don't know anybody who or any athlete who leads like that anymore. I mean, remember that Seth Wickersham article where it was an in-depth piece on the Seahawks and Richard Sherman throwing the ball at Russell Wilson and telling him he sucks, and then Sherman was like, "Yeah, that's just how we sharpen our iron around here." I mean, gee, I guess it's one thing if the quarterback shows leadership; it's a different thing when the cornerback throws a football at the quarterback and tells him he sucks. Not really sure how that went over or how that helped him.
Yeah.
But either way.
A little different. Yeah.
A little different.
But also with that group, Tom, when you talk about guys holding each other accountable, that was such the unique aspect about the Seahawks was it wasn't one particular player that was the enforcer, that was the guy that was showing everybody what to do. There was a collective group that literally would fight anybody at any time. Like it was amazing. And you're watching Sherm, you're watching Cam, Brandon Browner, who would fight anybody. I mean, it felt like he got in a fight every third practice. Earl Thomas flying around and hitting people in walkthroughs, and they're trying to tell Earl to calm down. You're going to hurt people out here. Doug Baldwin, throwing haymakers with Richard Sherman in one-on-ones. I mean, there was just this competitive edge, this fierceness about this team, in its earlier version under Pete Carroll that was just very unique and different and very hard to find.
That's how they sharpen their iron. I always thought that was a great line from Sherman. All right, we're going to get to our draft pick profile here. This is going to be Alton Robinson, the defensive end. And I want to ask Jake, as soon as he's done, one question about this guy, because I don't think it's quite as simple as lining up two rookies on either side of the defensive line and just telling him to go. So without further ado, let's do it.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy's Off-Season Profile.
Brought to you by DivorceLawyersForMen.com. Good lawyers doing good things for good men.
A look at the key free agents and draft picks for the Hawks championship run in 2020.
Let's go!
Draft Profile.
With the 148th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Alton Robinson, defensive end out of Syracuse. Now, this pick right here, guys, was actually the selection that was awarded the most reviews, good reviews, out of any pick the Seahawks made in this draft. Not their first rounder, not their second rounder, not their third rounder, but their fifth round selection, Alton Robinson, in terms of value that they received in a player in the fifth round. Alton Robinson, 6'3", 264 pounds, ran a 4.69. And for me, when I watch this player, I think that this guy is very unique, very intriguing, a player that brings a lot to the table. And in cut number six, here's Jim Nagy talking about what Alton Robinson brought to the table and what showed up as he watched the film.
You go back to his junior tape at Syracuse when he had the double-digit sacks, and on tape, he's really a different guy, because on tape, he looks like a guy that's 6'4", 6'5". He plays really long. And then we got the verified measurements back over the summer, and he was like, 6'2 and change. I was like, wow, that guy plays long for a 6'2 body type. But the cool thing about him, he can win with speed and he can win with power. He's got a really nice get off. He's got that powerful long arm move. He can beat you in a lot of different ways.
And he, when you hear Jim Nagy talk about that, he can beat you in a lot of different ways. To me, when I watched his film, the thing that stood out to me was explosion, explosive get off, and great anticipation of snap counts. It honestly was reminiscent of watching Chris Clemens, Cliff Averill, and Michael Bennett in terms of their ability to anticipate the snap count and basically just beat the tackle before he even has a chance to get out of his stance. And that's the type of ability Alton Robinson showed. Now, he is a big, compact guy who does bring a lot of power, but he didn't display that enough to me to make me think that he is a well-polished pass rusher, hence he falls to the fifth round. But he has great ability to bend the edge and get to the quarterback. And one of the other interesting things about Alton Robinson that makes me think that he's going to be a nice contributor to the team is here's Robinson talking about himself here in cut number 7 about his competitive nature.
I feel like one of the things I pride myself in most is my like relentless like competitiveness. Like, you know, being a defensive lineman, you know, you're going against the same guy pretty much the whole game. It's you and that offensive tackle. And I just think out of 10, I want to win 7. So I know I was bred to believe I can't always be the biggest, fastest, strongest, but working hard can overcome a lot of that.
And with that competitive nature, with that competitive attitude, he's going to have a great chance to contribute immediately as a rotational player. I don't think Alton Robinson comes in and is going to be your starting pass rusher off the edge. But what I do anticipate is that he's going to be very effective on passing downs. And Pete Carroll, what they were able to create was something that was they wanted to get back to their guys being able to stay healthy, stay fresh all throughout the game. And now with Alton Robinson, Daryl Taylor, Benson Mayoa, Bruce Irvin, you've added a group of guys that can just rotate throughout the game and get their very best. And with Alton Robinson's explosiveness and quick twitch off the edge, he's going to surprise a lot of tackles in this league, you know, in his rookie season, I believe. And one of the other areas that Alton Robinson, I think, is a guy to keep an eye on is he's a tremendous worker. And one of the unique things was he actually trained pre-draft here in the Seattle area. He has no connection here to Seattle, but yet he trained here in Bellevue, Washington, here at a local facility. And here's Pete Carroll talking about that uniqueness, being able to spend time around the Seahawks.
He's very determined to be part of something that, you know, unique and special, and I'm really excited about bringing him in. He's got some sense. Look what he did. He came to town here and started working out with our guys, and next thing you know, he's the teammate. So I'm going to keep my eye on this guy. I want to see what he thinks he needs to do next. That was pretty inventive.
Yeah, and the reason why he's saying it's inventive, you know, it was a good campaign by him saying, hey, the Seahawks is definitely a team that I'm interested in. I'm going to train in a facility right close by, you know, to Renton down in the VMAC. And I'm going to work with pass rushing specialist, former Seahawk great Cliff Averill, on my pass rushing combinations, my skill development. And Cliff Averill mentored him throughout that pre-draft process. So, you know, all the things that he struggled with, he was able to get mentorship from Averill, being able to pick his brain, work with him. And so hopefully you see a guy who is more well-rounded rather than a guy who's more of a one-trick pony in terms of what he's able to do off the edge. But once again, for a fifth-round pick, everybody across the league thought that this was a great selection by the Seahawks, a guy that I thought would fit in very nicely in this area, had him going in the fourth or fifth round to the Seahawks, and it was exciting to see this selection happen. So I have big expectations of him, not to be a starter, but to be a very strong rotational player and contributor right away.
Our draft profiles are brought to you each day by DivorceLawyersForMen.com. Now, when Robinson was drafted, Jake, it seemed like people were a lot more comfortable with him, picking him in the fifth round, than they were with picking Daryl Taylor in the second round. Was that just a difference in ability? Because it seemed like people were ready to line Taylor up on one side and Robinson on the other and then just tell them both to go. I don't think that that's going to be the case. And you did talk about a rotation, using him in a rotation, but there's a difference between being a piece and being a guy that's going to be relied upon, correct?
Absolutely, yes. And I would anticipate that Bruce Irvin, you're going to put Bruce Irvin on one of those edges. You are paying him to be one of those guys in pass rushing situations. So if we're just talking about right now what this looks like, there is, you know, Bruce Irvin on one end. You've got Daryl Taylor on the other. And everybody else after that, Benson Mayowa, Alton Robinson, they are then becoming rotational players. And hopefully you're able to kick down Rasheem Green, LJ Collier at that defensive tackle position along with Jaron Reed. And now you've got a really unique pass rushing unit on third downs. Outside of that, you are going to just see a constant rotation throughout the given game with those guys. So like I said, Alton Robinson, Benson Mayowa, those guys are probably only going to play 20% of the snaps, but hopefully those 20% of those snaps are hopefully they're going to play 20% of the total defensive snaps, but hopefully the snaps they do play are very effective and bring pressure and havoc.
Now, who is Robinson more immediately competing with? Like, when we get to camp, knock on wood that we have it, who needs to be looking over their shoulder for Robinson to come up and take their job?
Benson Mayowa. To me, Benson Mayowa and Alton Robinson are the guys that are going to be really competing to be that backup Leo guy in pass rushing situations. So that to me is going to be the most obvious competition right there. And then we'll see who plays, you know, the third string guy after that. But those two to me are going to be in a competition. And Benson Mayowa, you know, he's been able to do some nice things in this league. He just hasn't been consistent enough. And if you look at Bruce Irvin and you look at Benson Mayowa, if you really do some deep diving research on these guys, their best years came from defensive lines where they were tremendous pass rushing units, where they were not the one or two in their pass rushing unit. They were also, they were probably three or four in their pass rushing unit. So my point being is that they're going to be asked to play a little bit more of a prominent role. Benson Mayowa and Bruce Irvin are in terms of pass rushing need, which, you know, is a little scary, but Alton Robinson could come in. And if he shows off that explosive nature and that ability and that attitude, don't be surprised if you see him playing more than Benson Mayowa.
If you want to join the conversation at any time, 710-710 is the number, brought to you by Busy Hard Seltzer. Right now, we're a little late, but we're in four down territory.
This is four down territory, brought to you by MM Comfort Systems.
With Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
All right, I know Frank Gore isn't on this list anymore, regrettably, but who are some free agent running backs that you think the Seahawks should think about?
Oh, Tom, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry that Frank Gore is going to be playing with the Jets, but it's going to be okay because
pity.
I think there are some intriguing names here in free agency at that running back position. If the Seahawks were to choose to go that route, which I think signs still point to that, I think they need to add another veteran player. And so I'm going to throw four names at you that I think could potentially fill that need. One, the obvious one, Marshawn Lynch. We've heard them talk about each other, right? Marshawn talking about the Seahawks, Pete Carroll, John Schneider saying they're not closing the door on that situation, but that is not going to be a signing that happens anytime soon. It doesn't need to be. Now, the other three names, Carlos Hyde, I think is a guy that is very intriguing, very good player. A guy who can run between the tackles, a guy who can be very effective and has had big time flashes in this league, but to me, way too injury prone for my liking. I'm not too excited about that situation because you're adding another injury prone guy to an injury prone running back group. So I don't like that mix, but he certainly has upside. Mike Davis. Yes, the Mike Davis that Curtis Rogers was sleeping on all the time.
Who? I'm unfamiliar
Curtis,
with this guy's
stop.
Work.
Stop.
Former running back.
I also have played not heard with, of him.
I mean, he
played for the
I've
Bears,
always wanted
right?
A feud.
Yeah. Yeah, he got cut by the Bears this last year, but he had a great year for the Seahawks in 2018. And to me, when you have that ability, you show that background of you're able to come in and be a great locker room guy, a great contributor, and he was their third down back, and Russell really liked him. I think that that's another guy that could potentially you could see return back to the Seahawks. And I'm going to throw out an interesting name here. Devontae Freeman got cut by the Falcons.
Yeah, why is he not on a team?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm not entirely sure. Now, guys like Devontae Freeman, here's one hang up that I would think with him right now is a player like him being a superstar player, being a Pro Bowl type player, it's really hard to have the market tell you that you're not an all-star anymore. To have the market say, look, you're not a frontline guy. You're not a guy that's going to get picked up in the first, second wave of free agency. You're a third wave running back, and therefore you're not going to get paid very much. I think that that could be kind of a struggle, a battle for a guy like Devontae Freeman. But to me, if you're looking for somebody that brings something new and intriguing and different to the table, he's my guy. Like, I would love to see this happen because I still believe he has great ability to run between the tackles. And also, the one extra dynamic thing that he brings is his pass-catching ability. He's one of the more dynamic pass-catching running backs in the NFL and still displayed that this last season. So Devontae Freeman would be a guy that I would certainly be interested in.
We got to get to Stacey's question here, but in 20 seconds or less, tell me why nobody wants LeSean McCoy.
Nobody wants LeSean McCoy because at this point in his game, he just doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have that same explosiveness, that same wiggle that he once did and was so effective for the Eagles for so long.
Okay. Second down. It's Stacey's turn, just so everybody knows.
My turn. I'm ready, Tom.
Stacey, why should NFL fans be encouraged by news about European soccer?
Well, I think that fans of any league, but especially the NFL, where you're kind of trying to look ahead a couple months at a time that none of us are used to, so it feels impossible to predict. I think that you should take some positive kind of reinforcement from the Premier League opening back up. So the English Premier League is cleared to resume play on June 1st. I know that's still a couple weeks away, but Germany's, Curtis, correct me if I'm wrong, Bundesliga.
There you go.
I felt powerful. They will resume this weekend. That's Saturday, May 16th. Italy is going to resume training May 18th. They don't have really a date for when they're going to resume play. Again, they were one of the more harder hit countries, so not surprising there that they're a little bit behind. But I think if you're an NFL fan and you're looking for some encouragement that leagues are starting up again, I think looking at the Premier League starting play with something that feels very definite is something encouraging. Also, Governor Inslee's stay-at-home order is through May 31st. The only reason I mention that is my birthday. May 31st. Does nothing to do with this. I just wanted to mention it.
Bundesliga.
I'm done.
I am Jürgen from Jürgen. Third down. Oh, who do you think's going to handle kickoff and punt return duties for the Seahawks in 2020? Can I guess?
This is a fan. Yes, you can.
Is it going to be Freddie Swain?
It could be Freddie Swain there, Tom. Now, I'm not definitively saying that it is going to be Freddie Swain, but there are a couple candidates that you look at a punt return. Look, they're really trying to pass the torch here. They don't want Tyler Lockett doing kick returns, punt returns. He's too valuable to this team at this point. And you looked at what happened when he got hurt last year, and it took him a while to get back. It did make the offense wasn't nearly as good with him not being at full strength. And they can't afford to have Tyler Lockett not be at full strength. And so you have to figure out that position. And so I think Freddie Swain, who was their sixth round selection out of the University of Florida, he's dynamic. He's a guy who ran a 4.4 and plays at 4.4 speed for that position. DJ Dallas was also a pretty good punt returner out of the University of Miami, showed some big playability there. And then you look at David Moore. David Moore, to me, is more of a guy who is a reliable, potentially more of a reliable punt returner, but lacks that true big game ability, game-breaking ability to take one to the house. But I really think that Freddie Swain and DJ Dallas have a great chance to really compete at that punt return position. But they're going to have to take it away from David Moore and Tyler Lockett.
Fourth down. How's the coronavirus pandemic impacting college recruiting?
Well, the way it's impacting college recruiting is actually in a huge way, unfortunately. And I think, you know, when you look at these young men and what they're having to go through, look, they'd be going to college camps. They'd be visiting campuses right now, junior days, all of that, and they can't do it. You look at the University of Washington, they are not holding any activities right now until the end of July. So any recruit can't go on their campus until the end of July as of right now. Who knows if they push it back further. So this is hurting them in a lot of ways. Obviously, there's still opportunity to watch film and things of that nature. But seeing athletes in person is such a huge aspect, just like the NFL, but even more so in college. Seeing them in person is a huge aspect of recruiting and being able to, you know, give the final nod to handing kids scholarships. So I think that is hurting a lot of kids. And a lot of kids who don't play at big-time schools, that's for sure.
Remember, you now have radios in your home, smart speakers. Tell your smart speaker to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM. You know, you were talking about who's going to return kicks and punts. And I know that kicks aren't as much a part of the game as they used to be even 4 or 5 years ago because they're trying to get rid of them, or it seems like they are, for safety reasons. But how early in a football player's life do they start to teach kids to become a punt returner or a kick returner? Is that just something that you end up doing because you show speed and so a high school coach will look at you and say, you know what, we're going to teach you to do this? Or is it something else? Because it doesn't seem like at the pro level anybody really wants to do it. It's one of those who can we get to do this job credibly type things.
Well, I don't think it's something where you're trying to force guys to do it. I think that there are players in this league that really enjoy the aspect of getting the punt return and the chance to bring it back. And it's really finding guys that can do it in a dynamic way. That's what's, you know, been so hard for a lot
and
of
Lockett
teams
could.
In the NFL. And Lockett is one of those guys. He absolutely is. He is a special teams returner, but you can't afford to have him risk injury like that. And the Seahawks have been able to find guys. You know, you look at Golden Tate, and then you look at the ability to find Lockett. They've had guys in the punt return game that have been dynamic. And so when you can earn field position that way, it's a huge advantage to your team. So there's going to be a good competition there, and I think it's a much-needed position that has to be evaluated, because if you have a good returner who can get you 10, 15 yards, it's a huge advantage for your offense.
Do you remember the Brian Walters era of returning kicks and punts in 2014?
I do.
Do I ever?
Brian,
yes.
Brian Walters is a very good friend of mine, probably one of the most reliable return men, but the yardage is questionable. But he was going to catch that thing, Tom. He wasn't going
to
drop it.
Have you ever tried? to Brian's credit, and was it Brian with a Y? To Brian's credit, it is very difficult to catch a punt, like field a punt.
Well,
it's hard.
He would
Have
catch
you ever tried it.
It's just he would catch it. It's very hard. Yes,
you're
I've tried 50%
it. 50% there when you catch it.
Yeah, you know, he would get you a solid 10. He'd get you a solid 5. You know, I think that it was a dynamic punt return career.
It was a good alternative to having Earl Thomas do it. I think that was the other option.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next. DK Metcalf has some very good advice for the youngins. NFL headlines are next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. So, folks, what's on tap?
All right, tonight you got one of my favorite games of all time. This is from September 14th, 1990, versus the California Angels. Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. hit back-to-back home runs. Now, if you think through every amazing thing that's ever happened in the history of baseball, this has got to be one of them. Because think about it. How often have a father and son played on the same team, A? B, how often have a father and son hit back-to-back in the lineup, like one followed by the other? And C, How many times have those two guys hit back-to-back in the lineup and hit home runs back-to-back? The answer is never. It's never happened. It's pretty amazing that Ken Griffey Jr. came into the league when he was that young, and that Ken Griffey Sr. hung around when he was where he was old enough to be able to see that happen. And I know it must have been a thrill for both of them. But it reminds me of this clip from the ESPYs from years ago where Will Ferrell did his Harry Carey impersonation, but kind of took a shot at Ken Griffey Jr.
Hi, Ken Griffey Jr. I got to tell you, Ken, your dad was 10 times better ball player than you. Keep trying, though. Okay. Keep trying.
Ken Griffey, when the camera goes to Griffey in the audience there, he is none too pleased at all. Like, he didn't get the joke at all. Like, before that, they ripped Tiger Woods, ripped John Elway, a couple other guys. They went to Griffey. He was not having it. He was like, he was doing the Jonah, what's his name? Jonah Hill, like the, you know, the.
Yeah, when he does the, he was like, stop.
Right. He was like shaking his head like, no, move on. Just don't do it. Anyway. That's what reminded me of that. All right, let's get some NFL headlines.
Athletes that can't laugh at themselves, it becomes cringeworthy. It's like, just go along with it. Have fun with it, man.
You know what? It was probably just unexpected, and he was younger. He didn't know how to deal with it. We'll give him a pass on that one. But, yeah, be able to make fun of yourself. All right, I said DK Metcalf has some good advice for rookies here. DK Metcalf was sharing his experience as a first-year wide receiver in what they called a rookie webinar. There were 547 players present for this thing. The biggest piece of advice, though, he said, don't sit nowhere. Let everybody come in first and sit down, then find your seat last. That set the tone for the year for me and how to approach everything. Just wait my turn, soak up as much knowledge from the vets as I could. So when you show up to meetings and you show up to training camp, you sit there or you stand and you wait for everybody else to grab a seat, and then you sit down and you don't say anything, you listen. Jake, what were your experiences with that?
Fantastic advice. That's exactly what you need to do. And look, there's a difference between being humble, being having humility and being respectful of everybody else, and then there's taking a back seat. And I think, you know, with DK, what he's talking about is, look, respect the game. Respect the game, respect, you know, the fact that there are players that are here right now that are working their tails off to make you better, and, you know, you need to go and improve yourself first and foremost. So don't come in there, don't try and be brash as a rookie and try and take things over, because that's never going to work out for you, and you end up getting picked on more by the vets if you try and go that route anyways. But in terms of being successful, understand that this is a learning process, that everything that you did in college doesn't matter anymore, and you've got to start from scratch all over again. And I think that that's what DK Metcalf did, was not only did he use all the criticism as motivation, but he recognized that, look, I've got a long way to go in this league. I'm going to grasp onto every single bit of information that I can, and I'm going to show these guys that I'm going to work my tail off to show that I can be a big-time player and contributor for this ball club.
Yeah, the idea of sitting down last at meetings was interesting. It's something I'd never thought about before, but it is a way to kind of just establish yourself as, I'm here to learn and get better and contribute, not I'm here to be the answer. And I've never met an NFL player, but I have to imagine the feeling that you'd have in an NFL locker room is similar to any workplace, which is if someone comes in and they're a little too confident and they don't respect veterans that have been there, I would imagine there's kind of a defensiveness that happens with, like, hey, Rook, learn your place.
Now, here's the thing, though. What if you're Joe Yes. Burrow or you're Tua and you come in and you're expected to be the leader of the team? You're expected to be the one who comes in and transforms everything. Don't you get a seat in that case?
Sure, you get a seat in that case, but I also think that, look, there's a little bit of understanding that, hey, I need to ask the right people. You know, I need to ask my QB coach. I need to ask, you know, maybe one of the vets to show me the ropes and how things go. But, you know, that's a great point, Tom, is I think what Russell Wilson did as a great example is, look, you're coming in and you have these expectations to be the starter. It's about showing your work. right? I'm coming in to work, and that's the only way you're going to be able to get their respect, right? They want to see what you're going to do and how you're going to act day in and day out. And if you're going to be on top of your stuff, that means in meetings, that means on the field. If you're asked a question, you don't miss the question. You don't. There's nothing that gets by you. You better have the answer when you show up to work that day if you're going to be my starting quarterback. And so I think that's a really good thing to point out is, you know, some of those guys get thrusted into that spot and not everybody handles it the right way.
Right. I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because on one hand, you want to be able to let everybody know that you're in control. So you probably want to express that. But at the same time, you don't want to start stepping on any veterans' toes either. Man, that'd be a weird situation. By the way, the other bit of advice from Metcalf, quote, the easiest way. Oh, he's talking about finances here. He says the easiest way to manage that is just to know where your money is going and who has control of it. Be proactive and know where your money is going, how you're spending it, get a budget. Now, that's good advice for anybody, not just NFL players. Anybody coming out of college, entering the workforce for the first time, or even a 41-year-old like myself who should probably be able to, you know, balance a budget better than he does. This segment flew by a little bit too quickly. We have many more things to get to in headlines. We'll do it next in Sum It Up. 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Shot clock turned up.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports. Brought to you by Zone In CBD.
Step back!
You guys want to know a term that I'm not entirely comfortable with? Is
sure.
New normal. New normal. Like, this is just the way it's going to be from now on. Like, for example, when I walk into a gas station convenience store or a bank or wherever, like, I'm going to have to be 6 feet from the person in front of and back of me, like, forever, even after COVID is seemingly behind us, or that sporting events are going to be played without fans, or that all these other things that we've changed for now are necessarily going to stay changed. I thought that the goal was once we get past this pandemic, that things would return to normal. Am I alone on that? What do you guys think?
Well, it is hard. Go ahead, Stacey.
Oh, wait. So just to clarify. So you were thinking that we would get back into normal just essentially when this phase of quarantine kind of ends?
Yeah, I mean, we may have to adjust things for 2020 or however long this goes on. Like, whatever, right. This season of NFL, baseball, NBA will look a heck of a lot different. But at some point, we're getting back to normal, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, right? I do really think that that's going to be the case. And, you know, obviously time will tell, but, you know, the idea that, look, we're going to be doing our our show from remote for forever and doing all these team things, like these team chats. I love doing the remote stuff. We've been able to make it work, but I want to be around you guys. Like, I want to be in studio and be able to get back to it. Absolutely, I do. Look, it's
this is called fishing.
I think it's something. I think this is something that. dang it, Stacey.
Stop. No. Oh, my God, Jake. You don't miss us. Stop.
I really think that at some point we will get back to normal, that we will be able to overcome. And this will. I don't think that, you know, when they throw out the term new normal, maybe that's it for a little bit. But I can't imagine that this is going to be the way we conduct business, do things. We're just, you know, human beings are social, you know. We're social beings, and being around people is a huge aspect of that.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the social aspects to let up a little bit. I also miss all of my friends. I miss being at work, where I feel incredibly popular and funny. I'm sure Curtis misses me too. He looks incredibly upset and sad. We don't have to have you on right now just to talk about it. I know that it's true. You know what I was thinking the other day, though? One of my my roommate was talking about it, and she said something really similar, Tom. It's so funny that you say that. She said, I hate that I'm starting to feel normal with all of this, because she, I think a lot of us, it's like, you don't want the life we had to be lost and changed forever. You miss it. I miss it. And I was thinking about that and thought, you know what, if what I need in the interim is to feel kind of normal, like it's a new normal, just to function and not feel depressed and sad all the time, then I'm okay with feeling that way. And it's really hard to accept. And I hope there are a lot of things we get back. There might be some things we don't, right? I'm not talking about like concerts, but I'm saying like it might be a while before we are living in the kind of world that we were before. And there's always going to be a little bit of like a fear there. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's anything wrong with sometimes feeling like it's the new normal, if that's what you need just mentally and emotionally to just get by day after day.
Well, yeah, if you need to go into that mode, like if your brain needs to go into like survival mode just to keep itself from getting too depressed, go ahead and do whatever you want. But it's like, this thing is keeping us indoors. And the second that the curve starts to flatten even a little bit, we get hit with news about murder hornets. So it's like, you know what? If you thought about going outside, don't ever. Because we may be able to control a virus, but we sure as heck aren't going to be able to control those things whizzing around our heads.
These hornets are huge also. They're like 5'3". It's ridiculous.
Just
have
remember,
you seen videos?
Don't run away in a straight line. You got to zigzag. You got to evade the bees.
You got
to evade the bees side to side. You got to juke them out.
Traps,
you can't
if
run
you
straight
need
line,
to.
Tom. Okay? You can't use your elite speed. All right? You got to show some.
Do you
whipple.
Have a bow and arrow? Some weapons?
That would be pristine.
Think about
accuracy.
It. Yeah. Well,
nunchucks.
you could do that too, Tom.
That would be.
Well,
impressive.
I'm reading this story. I mean, and I'll. You know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, look, you know, when we get, it's going to be hard. You know, like just think about it. You guys have been able. I'm down here in San Diego, and you guys have been able to enjoy an amazing weekend, great weather, you know, all that in Washington. And there's no more of a beautiful place than Washington when it's sunny outside. And I think that will start getting very difficult for people to not want to go outside and enjoy the things that they have been accustomed to enjoying in the summertime. And obviously we're all working hard to try and do our part to, you know, do the right thing for everyone around us. But I do agree that at some point we're going to get back to normal. We are.
I mean, and we're still at the stage. We're still at the stage right now where we're trying to plan for having an NFL season where things might look different. We don't even know what those things are yet. I mean, we had a headline here today. The NFL schedule is built for the possibility that no games could be played in the state of California, meaning the 49ers would play in Phoenix, the Chargers would go to Vegas with the Raiders, the Rams would go to Vegas or Dallas. I mean, all these sort of weird contingencies could happen, but I'm only willing to accept that this is temporary. I'm holding out hope. I mean, and granted, none of these are my teams. It's not like it's going to ruin my plans to go to any Ram games, but I still need my NFL to look the way it did for the first 40 years of my life. I don't want it to be like, oh yeah, we're just going to move teams around all the time and that's going to be the new normal because we got this virus situation. And, you know, just be ready to have, and, you know, in college, just be ready for some teams every year to not play. Like, I'm not nearly at the point where I can accept that.
Let me ask you this, because we're missing baseball right now. We lost out on basketball. We lost out on March Madness. There are a lot of the Masters. There are a lot of events that we've missed here. If there's no football, what does that do for your guys's, you know, psyche and thought process? Because I feel like a lot of people obviously are missing sports right now, and they all have their particular sports that have gotten hit, you know, Sounders, you know, all these different teams. But to me, it just feels like the NFL, if you're getting this thing pushed back and you're not having the NFL around, I think that hits a whole nother level of, you know, sort of depression.
I would really start to worry about my job.
Well, I think the NFL, I think it would take something. I feel like if the season had to start tomorrow, the NFL would try to find some way to do it. Like, it feels like they have to have both hands tied behind their back, arms cut off, to, like, not have a season. So I think I'm just doing that thing where maybe it's dumb, but I'm just assuming it'll happen and they're going to find a way to do it. And you can call me naive if you want, but none of us really know. So
could we use stadiums? Hold on a second.
Get through and feel. Yeah.
Idea. Could we use stadiums in South Korea for football? Can we pay them? At least that way we've got football. We'd have to be up all night watching the games, but it's only like one time a week, maybe two. It's no big deal.
Ooh,
and it's out of
like
season for baseball.
No, yes. No big deal. No
Yay!
Big deal.
No big deal.
Well worth
Just
it.
Just do it.
Be well worth it. I don't think that's going to be the case, guys. But I'm just curious because I feel like the NFL, in terms of what it means to the country as a whole, like, not everybody's an NFL fan. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying how much it is a part of the fabric of this country. It is going to be another level of just kind of a smack in the face if that was to be the case. Of like, wow, this is serious. This is real. That there's no NFL. But I think the NFL. It'll be around. It's very powerful. It's something that I think, you know, as you said, there's a lot of time will tell type of situation. But if other leagues are talking about working to open their facilities, I think the NFL is in a perfect time in all of this to see how it can play out and have their season start right away.
Yeah, what's Roger Goodell going to do with himself if there's no season? Just sit there in his basement announcing draft picks to nobody.
He's going to find somebody to find. I'll tell you that. He'll figure it out.
Getting more and more casual, just like he did.
You know what they're going to do? Actually,
like a suit, and then pretty soon he's hanging out.
Oh God!
I like chilling out, Roger. We would get.
They're going to order like another 100 episodes of Jordan, aren't they?
Yeah, probably. They'd probably.
I think they are. Like, they actually are.
Oh man!
I'd be okay.
All
with
right,
that.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. Stop talking. Get out of my show.
Okay,
all
bye.
Right. See ya.
All right. Bye. Bye.